the mighty mountain. Oh, valley that can be shepherd of my soul, be my God. Lift up your hands before heaven and say, Father, be my shepherd indeed. Guide my feet. In this journey of life, do not allow me to go into a ditch. Do not allow me to go into a depth that I will never be able to come out of it. Lord, please guard my feet and guide my feet also. Do not allow me to go into trouble. Do not let trouble come into me. Lord, keep me from evil. Keep me from disaster. Keep me from calamities. Shield my life and shield my family. Shield all that concerns me, O God, from the arrows of the enemy. Be my shield and my buckler. Be my fortress. Be my dwelling place. Be my high tower. Hide me away, Almighty God. You are my hiding place. You are my high tower. You are everything to me. Lord, please come. Come, come. Come and help me. Come and guide my feet. Thank you, merciful one. Hallelujah to you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Righteous Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious blood, we all come before You this morning. We come to God, not to man, because man is nothing. That we come to God Almighty. We come to our Father, our God, our King, our Rock, our Strength, our Shield. The one that will never send us away. The one that will never condemn us. The one that will never judge us. The one that is always like the father of the prodigal, embracing us with His arms of love. Father, we worship You this morning. We bow to our Father and our God. We are proud of our Father. We thank You because You are the only Father and You are the best Father of all. Lord, no other Father can compare with You. You are God. You are mighty. You are awesome. You are beautiful. You are powerful. You are wonderful. You are faithful. You are righteous. You are holy. You are God. And we are so, so proud of You. We thank You for life, for grace, for strength, for mercy, for the forgiveness of our sins, for Your compassion, for Your love. We thank You so much for every blessing with which we have been blessed. We thank You, merciful one. And we give You glory and praise for everything. Take glory, Father. And as we continue in this service this morning, we yield ourselves to You. We pray, merciful one, that You have mercy upon us. Father, I confess that I have nothing to offer to Your children, but I know You have loads of things to give to them. And so, Lord, as I open my mouth this morning, I pray that, Lord, You will speak through me, that I will be Your microphone, that all of us together will be blessed by the words that will come from Your throne unto us today in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we just want to bless You and give You all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus as we take our seat. We're all welcome in Jesus' name. Amen. Look around you. Just shake hands with somebody around you, by your hand, by your left, by your right, in your front. If you have somebody in your front and behind you, welcome them and bless them. Tell them you are blessed and you're going to be blessed this morning in the name of Jesus. So good to see you. It's been a while. And if you have been traveling and you've returned, welcome back from your travel. We missed you when you were not here. The Lord will keep you and strengthen you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, man of God. God bless you. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to read the whole of that chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Holy Scriptures. We're going to read the whole of that chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is the fifth book of the Bible, just in case you forgot. Hallelujah. Are we all there? Deuteronomy chapter 8 from verse 1. Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply. And you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey His commands. Yes, He humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna
a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out, and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So, obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It's a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, his regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all this so you will never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. But I assure you of this. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshipping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed, just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path. You also will be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. May the Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're looking at a topic that says, do not forget the Lord your God. Do not forget the Lord your God. Do not forget the Lord your God. Help me to tell somebody around you, maybe about five people, tell them, do not forget the Lord your God. Do not forget the Lord your God. Do not forget the Lord your God. It is a very dangerous thing to forget the Lord your God. It's a very, very serious and horrible thing to forget the Lord your God. Because the consequences are so massive. And I'll tell you something. In this world that we're in, you and I, it is so easy to forget God. It is so easy to forget the Lord our God who has been there for us. Why is it so easy? Because the pressures of life are so many. And their intentions are so simple. And the major intention of the pressure that faces us is to make us forget the Lord our God. Yes, they might seem everyday, day-to-day stuffs. Oh, wake up in the morning, go to work, come back home, do this, do that. I have to go and visit that person. I have to go and do banking. I have to go and, you know, go for my studies. I have to rest a little bit. I have to watch the television. I have to listen to the news. They seem so, you know, so legitimate, so needful, you know, so important to us. But if we're not very, very careful, they have the tendency to make us forget the Lord our God. We become so preoccupied with them. We become so engulfed with them that if care is not taken, you won't even think about God, you know, even once a day. Hallelujah. And a lot of Christians were falling into that trick. We're falling into the trick of, you know, allowing the day-to-day activities of our normal living to make us, to push us into forgetting the Lord, our God. This God is our God. He is proud to call us his children. And we also must be proud to call him our God. Our God. Because that's who he is. He is your God. He is your Father. He cares about you. Now, the tendency, the normal thing for you to begin to ask yourself that if maybe you're passing through some things and you say, if God were my God, how is it that I'm passing through this kind of thing? In the passage we have just read right now, we were told as Moses was reminded and calling to remembrance, you know, the things that the Lord had done for the people of Israel. You know, in Deuteronomy, they were about to enter the promised land. In fact, Deuteronomy is a book that is called a valedictory book because it was the last message, the last admonition that Moses was given to the people of Israel before he would leave them, before he would die, and before they would now enter into the promised land. So he was calling all of them to remembrance. Remember all the things that God had done. Remember how he took you through the wilderness. Remember all the things that he did in your life. The difficulties that you passed through. Remember how he pulled you through. And he started by saying, be careful. It is so easy to be careless, you know. But he admonishes us and says, be careful. Be full of care that you do not slip away. Because the path is so narrow. The path to heaven is very, very narrow. It cannot even take two people walking side by side together. That's how narrow it is. And so that means that you cannot afford to allow somebody else to detract you from the path. Hello? Did you hear that? The path is so narrow. It can only take one person at a time. It cannot even take your wife or your husband standing side by side with you for you to walk in it. You will fall. And on both sides of this path are treacheries of life. Hell is standing here. Hell is standing here. Hello, did you hear that? The path is very narrow. On both sides of the path, we have hell waiting. We have the devil waiting. And that's why you and I, we cannot afford to just, you know, move just 1 inch out of that path because hell is waiting. Destruction is waiting. It cannot take two people walking side by side to walk on that path. And so what does that teach us to start with? Do not allow anybody, no matter who they are, to take you away from God. Do not. Do not allow anyone, whether that person is your pastor or your GO or whatever it is, not even talking about your husband or your spouse or even your children or your work, to take you 1 inch outside that path because hell will be waiting. It's so easy to forget God, I tell you. It's so easy. It's a very, very easy thing to do. But here it says, be careful. Take care so that you do not fall away from this path. Take care to obey all the commands that I'm giving you today. He says, if you do that, one of the things, first thing he said is that you will live and multiply. You know, we're all searching for wealth today. People are, you know, some of us, we're working. The reason why we're working is that so we can amass some wealth and so that we can, you know, be able to have power, purchasing power to purchase whatever you want to purchase and live comfortably and all that. Isn't it? I thought I'm the only one person. You know, it says, if we keep on focusing on that, we stand in danger of losing our gaze, you know, on God. So it says, you will live and multiply if you will obey all the commands. The instructions of God are meant for us not to steal our joy or to be what we call joy spoilers, but to guide our feet so that as we obey them, we live in peace, we live in plenty, and we live as we should. He says, if you obey the commands of the Almighty God, you will live and multiply. the things that you are running after, they will run after you. Hallelujah. And not only that, you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. It means that every promise that God has given you, he hasn't got any problem about fulfilling them. He hasn't got any problem. He won't have to sweat before he blesses you with the blessing that he has promised you. God doesn't have to. He doesn't have to go anywhere. He doesn't have to go and take a loan in the bank before he blesses you with money. He doesn't have to go and begin to suffer here and there before he blesses your life with it, with what he has promised you. He has the power to do it. He also has the wisdom to do it. He also has the capability to do whatever he has promised to do. He doesn't have any problem fulfilling promises. But he wants us to do just one thing. Obey the commands of the Lord your God. If you do that, he says you will live. And then you will multiply and increase. Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, remember. Somebody say remember. Remember. Somebody say remember again. Remember. It is easy to forget God, I tell you. It's a conscious effort that we need to make every day to keep on putting God in our remembrance. I was sharing with us on Wednesday, some of us that came for the Bible study on Wednesday, you know, that one of the things that you can do for God is to keep on remembering him. If you really, really love God, you keep on remembering him every moment. And I was using the example of my wife. I think about my wife. I don't know how many times I think about my wife every day. Somebody might say, I'm crazy about her. Yes, I'm crazy about her. If you have any problem with that, just come and see me later. Hallelujah. Amen. I think about her so many times in a day. And it's because I care about her and I love her very, very much. Yeah? It's the same thing. If you love God, one of the things that you would do, if you really, really love God, you think about God every time. It is not, God is not somebody that you pick up on Sunday morning, and by the time it is 2 o'clock after service, you put him back on the shelf. And then on Wednesday, 7 o'clock, you pick him up again. Let's go to church, God. Are you okay? Have you eaten some food? You know, you begin to ask him. Because you've kept him since Sunday afternoon on the shelf. You kept him there. You never asked whether he has headache or his legs are paining him. You never asked. But that is not the way to live. You need to keep on putting God in your remembrance all the time. Keep on thinking about God. We call it contemplation. You are contemplating on God. You are always thinking about God every time. Before you drink water, you're thinking about, would God be happy if I drink this water? You know, it can get to that point. So some people, they have walked with God. If they want to wear a particular shirt in the morning, they ask God, do I put on this shirt? And God says, no, you can't put it on. They put it down. Why? Because they have developed that relationship with him. And they are ready to listen to him and ready to abide with whatever he says. Now, when we talk about all these commands and instructions, we're not talking about 10 commandments only. Hello. We're talking about day-to-day instructions that God gives you and I. Hello. Day-to-day instructions that God gives you and I. Sometimes God will ask you to sit down there, don't go anywhere. You need to learn to sit down and don't go anywhere. Sometimes your husband just, you know, finished lashing you and you are about to reply. The Holy Spirit says, don't say a word. Excuse me, you don't say a word. Or your wife has just finished lashing you. All this lashing thing, you know. And you are about to say, you're about to hit her. And the Holy Spirit says, you can't do that. You can't do that. Would you listen? Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years. Now, some of us have been through tough things in life. And God has seen us through. God wants you to remember the things that you have passed through in life and how he has seen you through them. And as you remember, you give thanks to him every time and use that as a springboard for your hope for the future. There are sometimes I feel very down spiritually. I don't know about you, maybe you're always on top every time. You're always feeling great every time. Thank God for your life. But sometimes I feel low. I feel very, very low. In my emotions, I'm low. In my pockets, I am low. You know, in my spirits, I'm just low. I'm just low. I just can't figure out what is always making me low. And thoughts will begin to come to me and say, you know, this God that you're serving, are you sure he can help you? Yes. The devil will begin to throw and fire arrows of unbelief and doubt and all kinds of things to my heart, even beyond the speed of light. Now, if you're not very, very careful, that's what the Bible says, be careful. If you're not very, very careful and you keep on meditating on those arrows that the enemy is firing, before you know it, you go into depression. And you begin to forget how good God has been to you in times past. Hallelujah. And that's why the only thing you need to do at that time is to remember. Somebody say remember. You need to remember something good that God did to you. It might be 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. You just have to remember it. And that's what I do all the time. I just need to remember one good thing. It might be as mundane as I got to the bus stop, bus 53 showed up on a winter morning. As mundane as that. It might be as flimsy as that. But I would say, oh God, I remember how you rescued me at that time. And because of that, I will still praise you again. Let's move on because of our time. The Bible said he led them through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you and testing you. Humbling you and testing you. God loves people that are humble. Hello. God's presence abides with the humble people. Hello. God abides and lives with humble people. Humble people attract God's presence. It's an automatic thing. The Bible says that God looks at the proud afar off. God doesn't allow proud people to draw near him because he will consume them with his anger. But somebody who is humble attracts God's presence. And that's why he was teaching them all through the journey through the wilderness. And so I want you to look at yourself. I don't know what wilderness you are passing through today. God is trying to use such wildernesses to humble you. There are some lessons of life. You will never learn them any other way except you pass through them. And once you pass through them, they become part of you. They are your experiences. They are the things that you will use to tell other people about, you know, about the goodness of God, about the mercy of God. They become your testimonies. You know, another says, you say you're a wise person and you never suffered in life. Who was your teacher? The pressures of life, the wilderness experiences that we go through in life, they have a way of humbling us and teaching us some things about God. He said he was teaching them, he was humbling them in the wilderness those 40 years. And he was testing them to prove their character. We talked about, on Wednesday, we talked about the fact that there's what we call test of faith. And we said that faith must be tested. Your faith must be tested anytime. Why do we have to test your faith? Because God wants to be sure. But we must also ask ourselves, what God knows everything. Yes, God knows everything. But there's a tiny bit of you that God cannot vouch for and say whether you would do the right, whether you choose the right thing or not. For that moment, for that little thing, which is called what? Your will. Then God is not sure about your heart. And because of that, we have to test your heart to be sure that you have the right heart. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna. There are times where God will allow you to be hungry. Why? Not because he just likes you to look like size 10 or size 8. No. He's using that. He's using that hunger to do what? To test a lot of things about you. To humble you. He lets you go hungry so that he can feed you by himself. There's something the Lord told me some time ago. And it's so vivid to me because I still remember it up till now. He said, if I bless you with a lot of money, what would you do with it? You know, that's a very, very massive question. And if I know myself, I won't lie to you, I know myself. And I know my measurement. You know what they call measurement? I know myself. If God bless me, if as at that time, God blessed me with so much money, I am so sure that I possibly will not become a pastor. I'm telling you. That's the truth. I won't lie to you. Ah, look at my face. I'm not lying. But because of the fact that that is what he wanted us to be, he wouldn't give us too much money. And as a matter of fact, by the grace of God, I got to a point in time where even if you give me £1 million, £1 million is even too little. If you give me £100 million right now, it won't stay in my hand for a long time. I won't allow it to stay there. Because I don't want it to enter into my head. I will make sure that as soon as possible, I give them out. Sashore, don't worry, I'll give you some. Amen. I'll give you some. Sashore, don't worry. But that £100 million will not stay in my hand. More than, I can't stay a week. It's as simple as that. Because all those things, riches and wealth, they have a way of distracting you if you're not very, very careful. And so I need to congratulate some of us today. Because you have been praying for that £1 million to come and it has not come. The reason is because God is being merciful to you. It's part of God's mercy and love to you. Because he knows that once you have that money, we won't see you again. You'll give him 1,001 excuses not to be in his presence because you say, ah, Lord, we have to go and manage that £1 million so that it can increase and multiply. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Because of our time, I need to quickly point on something before we close. He humbled you by letting you go hungry and then filling you with manna. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone. Excuse me. Your life is not all about bread. Hello. Your life, my life, is not all about the blessings. That's another word for the bread. The blessings. The blessings of a car, the blessing of a house, the blessings of money, the blessings of a home, the blessing of anything you want to think about, all the bread. Your life, my life, does not end and start or start and end, you know, around the bread. Hello. Man shall not live by bread alone. Your life is more than all those things. Life is all about the word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Life is all about the word of God. Life is all about sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ and hearing the word of God. That was why Mary and Martha were judged by Jesus Christ. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, listening to the word of Jesus Christ. And Martha was busy in the kitchen. And Jesus Christ said, look, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part. Because man shall not live by bread alone. I know you are cooking for me. You are doing all those things for me. But really, 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 what you should be doing is come and sit down here and hear me talk. And when it is time to go and eat, I will tell you to go and make the food. We'll wait. Hallelujah. Please do not let your life revolve all around food or bread of life. Oh, everything you are looking for in this life is all about, I want to build my next house. And after you have finished building that one, you also want to build the next one. And next one. And next one. So you are running up and down because you are trying to meet a target that God has not set for you. It is called the rat race. Please don't be involved in it. It's not worth it. If God wants to bless you, it doesn't cost him anything. It gives him no stress to bless your life. And so if I were you, if you are a wise person, you would choose the better part. The better part is right beside the Almighty God, putting your ears to his chest and listening out for what he has to say. One word from God is far more than eternity. If you hear a word from God today, he settles you forever. He puts your mind at rest. You do not begin to run helter-skelter like a headless chicken. You have a purpose for your life. Your life has meaning. Your life has meaning and value. You're not just like any other person. Hallelujah. He says something in verse 4. For all these 40 years, your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not blister or swell. Wow. All the times they were passing through the wilderness, they never suffered, what do you call it now? Their clothes never wore out. That is a miracle. Because they were exposed to the elements, you know. They were in the wilderness. So they are not living in houses built with big bricks and whatever. They were living in tents. They were living in tents. So they were open to the elements. The sun will shine upon them. The rain will fall upon them. The wind will blow upon them. Normally, that alone needs to even bleach the clothing they were wearing. Wear it out. So that from black, it turns to gray. From gray, it goes to white. You know, there's a way black can go to white. Hallelujah. But he said nothing like that ever happened to these people. Even though they passed through the wilderness, their clothes were never worn out. They were never living in rags. And not only that, because they didn't have shoes. You know, they didn't have shoes in those days. They were walking barefooted. Even with that, there was no blister on their feet. Their feet didn't swell up. Excuse me. If you are passing through things in life and God is with you, there's nowhere you will go into what we call impoverishment. What's another word for that? You will never lack anything that you need. Hello? Did you hear that one? You will never lack anything that you need. Not anything that you want. You will never lack it. If you need anything, there's a God that's called Jehovah Jireh. He will supply every need. Every need is supplied. Every need will be supplied because that is his name. He supplies every need. He meets every need. He may not give you all that you want, but all that you need, he will supply. If you abide with him and you abide in him. He said, even though they pass through the wilderness, even though you are passing through all kinds of situations and circumstances of the day, be well aware that God will never allow your clothes to wear out. What does clothes stand for? Everything that protects your being, your body, which includes money, which includes everything that will make your life comfortable. He says, as you pass through this wilderness of life, be rest assured, no matter how long it might take, your clothes and everything that you need to make your life comfortable will never, never be denied you. Your feet will not blister or swell. Hallelujah. He says sometimes he does these things in order to discipline us. As a parent disciplines a child. As a parent disciplines a child, the Lord, your God, disciplines you for your own good. It is for our good that God will discipline us. So say, for example, God wants to make you a treasurer. You know what they call a treasurer? Somebody that God can give money and say, this money I'm giving you, you use it for my kingdom. Okay, that's what we call heavenly treasurers. Treasurers for God. God blesses them with money, but they know that the money is not meant for them. Is meant for the kingdom. Now, there's a way that God trains his treasurers. He doesn't train them in the university. He doesn't train them any other place. He trains them through what we call adversity and through what we call lack. He trains them through what we call the school of poverty. Hello. There are some schools that God will enroll them in. It is called the school of lack and poverty. You see that some of them, They have known poverty firsthand in their lives. They have experienced lack, acute lack. Which one is acute or is chronic? Which one is worse? Chronic is worse than acute. Chronic lack. They have suffered in life. And because of that, God trained them up. Trained them up. He used those adversities to train them up so that when the money comes, one way or the other, they do not allow the money to run into their heads and they remember where they were coming from. And because of that, they will now allow themselves to be used as vessels to be a blessing to other people who are passing through such difficult times. We call it discipline. That's how God brings us up from time to time. Lessons of life cannot be learned from the comforts of life. Hello. Lessons, great lessons of life are not learned through comforts of life. No. A lot of rich people in the world, go and ask them to tell you their stories. Many of them grew up in abject poverty. Are we making sense? So normally, you learn to be to handle the things of life from the discomforts of life. Now let me jump because of time. He told them, so obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. Let's even stop there for a moment. A lot of Christians today, we don't fear God. We do things and we don't care what the consequences might be. Yet we call ourselves Christians. Please, let's stop doing that. Let's fear God. Let's know that God is the God of justice. And when God judges, it's a horrible thing. So let's enjoy his good part. Let's not experience his other side. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It's a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It's a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, F-I-L-L, when you have eaten enough to fill your tummy, don't overeat. Hello. God will give you enough to fill your tummy. When you have filled your tummy, do not eat more than your tummy can take. What happens after that? Constipation and what else? Tummy trouble. You either run to the toilet or it stays there and you don't go to the toilet. Both ways is bad. Or both ways are bad. Hello. You know that some of us, we have had our fill. Our tummy is full. And rather than giving the rest to somebody else who needs to be filled too, what do? We keep on eating. And then we now begin to have problems. You know, when you overeat, you have problems. You can throw up, you can run your tummy, or you can become constipated. And all those things are not good at all. It's the same thing. When you overeat, when you overfill your tummy with God's blessings that he has blessed you with and you refuse to give to other people, you will have constipation. You find that you are no longer comfortable. You know, two angels were having a conversation. I was not there, but I read about it. Two angels were having a conversation. And one was telling the other one, said, look, human beings are very complicated people. He said, have you just realized? They are very complicated though. Even God himself knows how he deals with them. They are extremely complicated. He said, okay, by the way, why did you say they are complicated? He said, can you imagine? When they were young, they want to grow up quickly. And by the time they have grown up quickly, they don't want to die again. They don't want to grow old. Hello. He said, that's number one. Number two. Hello, are you there? Number two, when they are young and they are working extra hard so that they can have, you know, plenty of money and plenty of wealth, plenty of comfort, so that they can afford whatever they want to eat, so that they can afford to eat whatever they want to eat, all kinds of food. And then the surprising thing is that when they have now had the money and they can afford all the food that they can eat, and they have now eaten the food, and they have now grown very, very big, they will now spend the same money they have acquired to now go to the gym and burn down and to burn off the fat. Praise the Lord. He said, why don't they just realize that don't overeat so that you don't even spend the money to burn down at the gym in Woolwich? He said, it's just foolishness. They're not wise. Hello. So if you keep on saying, I want to be rich so that I can do that, what happens after you have done that? And then I want to do that. What happens after you have done that? You find that there's no end to one thing. You will always want one thing or the other. But the wisdom is knowing when to stop one thing and to be grateful for even the one you have. And if you see somebody around you who needs, who is in need, what do? You be a blessing. Because you are not a blessed person until you have been a blessing to somebody. Hello. So let's check our ways. I need to close. The message I was going to preach today was going to be about giving. But I postponed that because during the second service I will not be preaching. So I needed to preach something. You first service people, there's something you always take a lot of goody goodies. Amen. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I need to round up now. Towards the end of that chapter, the Lord says something. In verse 18, remember the Lord your God. Remember. Don't forget. Don't ever let the thoughts of God, the remembrance of God, depart from your mind. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. Why? In order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. God is a covenant-keeping God. If you have a covenant with the Almighty God, what does he do? He remembers them all the time. And so you and I, we also need to remember the Lord our God. And understand that he's the one that gives us power to be successful. It's not because you are the most learned person, that's why you're successful. It's not by your education that you'll be successful. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It is of the Lord that showeth mercy. And while I conclude, verse 19 says, but I assure you of this. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshipping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. There's nothing you can do about it. If you bow down to idols, and we have idols in our lives, brethren, we do. Some of us, our idols are our money, our wealth, our riches. Some of us, our idols are our families, our children, our spouses. Some of us, our idols are our jobs, our careers. You know what your own idol is. The God said, if you bow down to them, if you keep on worshiping your idols, destruction is lurking around the corner. And I'm praying for you and myself that we will not be destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That we will take wisdom in what the Lord has shared with us this morning. And we will never allow anything whatsoever to make us forget the Lord our God. I wanted to say something to somebody as we conclude this morning. Remember the Lord your God. Don't forget the Lord your God. Don't let anything else take the place of God in your life. Don't let your money take the place of God in your life. Don't let your riches take the place of God in your life. Don't let your children take the place of God in your life. Don't let the blessings of God take the place of God in your life. Keep on remembering the Lord, your God. Amen. Let's bow our heads to pray. You want to ask the Lord, Father, every idol that I've been worshiping in my life, I pray that you will forgive me for my idolatry. Forgive me for worshiping those idols whom you know very, very well. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. I promise you, O God, that, Lord, I will remember you every moment, every day. Every moment of my day, I will put you in remembrance. I will not forget your goodness
your mercy, your kindness, your love, your compassion. I will remember your goodness. Hallelujah. Let's begin to round up our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now before I leave the pulpit this morning, I'd like to say my wife and I and the ministers in the house, we've been very, very overwhelmed. We've been overwhelmed by your messages and tokens of appreciation for us. I mean, some of them, when I read those messages, it was mind-blowing to me. Because as, the person who took the announcement last week was saying, we as ministers of God, we also need encouragement from time to time. And I want to say that all of your messages to us have been massive, massive means of encouragement. We want to thank God for your lives and for allowing us to be your pastors and ministers. If you did not allow us to be like that, we would not be here. And it would be very, very miserable ministering to empty chairs. But we want to thank God for your lives and for all that God has used you and us to be able to accomplish in our lives. Our prayers are that the Almighty God Himself, whom you have appreciated in our lives, will appreciate you on our behalf.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Some of you have given us gifts. Some of the gifts are way more than one would expect. But what the Holy Spirit kept on reminding us is the fact that they are not giving you the gifts. They are giving me, the Almighty, the gift. And I want to assure you, it is God that you have given the gifts. It is not myself, it's not my wife, it's not the ministers. You have given the gifts. It is God. And on behalf of the Almighty God, I want to say thank you. And I also pray that God Himself will appreciate you back.
Amen.
In every way that you desire appreciation, or you deserve appreciation, the Almighty God Himself will appreciate you back. Thank you so much for all those messages. Thank you so much for all the tokens. Thanks so much for all the gifts. We appreciate you very much. God bless you, Rego. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Thank you very, very much.
Praise the Lord. Let's just stretch forth our hands towards the man of God that God has used to be a blessing and sow a seed of prayer. Let's begin to pray that God will continue to increase him from strength to strength. That his anointing will not run dry. That his head will never lack oil. That God will continue to keep him, uphold him, strengthen him. That God will continue to allow his word to remain in his mouth. Precious Father, we thank you for your servant, O God, that as you have used to bless us. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Thank you, O God, for using him. Lord, we pray that you set a hedge of fire around about him and his family. Strengthen them, O God, that the arrows of the enemy will not come near their dwelling in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you for your goodness and for all that you've done.